welcome to a top five edition of the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're counting down the top five things we're thankful for in 2009. We hope you enjoy, so stay tuned. Reagan, welcome.
Hi.
Mel, welcome.
Hello.
Jillian, welcome.
Hey.
It's Thanksgiving time, a time to look back and reminisce over what's taken place during the previous year and say what we're thankful for. So that's what we're going to do with soaps today. Reagan, what is your number five thing you're thankful for?
Number five, Pratt is out.
Woohoo!
And really, because it reinforces that
the prayer works.
These people in charge of these soaps, they get it. It may take them a little bit longer, but they finally get it, and they make the right decisions, and they fire these idiots that are writing these shows into the ground. So that's my number five.
Mel?
All right. I'm going to have a little Mel moment here. And number five thing I'm thankful for are the beautiful men of daytime. You know, the ones that take off their shirts and like to take showers and all kinds of things. So Mark Lawson. Okay.
Wait. She did not mention Marie Bartlett. She mentioned Mark Lawson.
You didn't let me finish. I was swooning over Mark Lawson, and you didn't let me get to my Australian sexiness.
Okay. I think you pointed out that you said Mark Lawson first.
Exactly. We now know where things
are.
Poor Marie Bartlett. He's whipped out of the world.
I ain't seen a bit of it. So I haven't gotten my fix of my Australian sexiness yet. But, he is on the list. Trust.
Mark Lawson and the dress whites. Oh, y'all just woke me up, y'all. Thank you, Frank, for hiring that boy.
Woo. I like Reagan's man too, Steve Burton. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I was going to say, you never see him shirtless. It's like once every 2 years.
Leave Steve alone before
his face. I'll be all right. Josh Morrow, I think I forgot you on Young and the Restless over there, just looking sexy all the time. But yes, the beautiful men of daytime, number five.
J-Bo?
Number five. I know God and Life fans, look, this is not about the show. This is about the cow that was running the show. I am thankful that Ellen Wheeler is not running a show or killing a show anymore. That sounds mean, but it's all she did. She killed the show. She put it to the ground. I am thankful that she is not running amok on any shows. I better not say that too loud, because then I don't want to see in the credits that she's like at One Life to Live. Or
why should be the new head writer on My Children?
No. She was an executive producer. Let's hope that doesn't translate into a head writer role.
You know, I'm hoping I don't look up in the credits and I'm watching Wired On. I'm like, what the hell? They don't fire Maria and put Ellen Wheeler in charge. Oh my God. I think I
know. Knowing Ellen, she would pull some crap like that.
No. The bells are running things. Say what you may with them bells, but they'll never do that to us. They won't do that to us. Knock on wood.
No, they'll just recast Malcolm.
Shut up. You're trying to be funny and it's not funny. Shut up. It's too early for you to do that. It ain't funny. It ain't funny.
So your number five is Ella Wheeler is no longer in the soap business.
That's right.
That was almost one of mine, Julian, so I cut for that.
Coming in at number five for me is Maura West. Being back on our screens on As the World Turns, she's great on the show, but every time she's gone on a pregnancy leave, the show takes a hit. Now, granted, her returns are usually pretty good. I'll give you that. But
I'm a cut for y'all. Gonna call y'all all my children. I'm a cut for y'all As the World Turns. Look, I think there are more people on that show that make the show watchable and tolerable than Maura West. It ain't always all about Maura West. That's
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I'm thankful that she's back on this show because it is, for me, it is not as enjoyable when she's gone.
You just did. That's kind of foul. You try to make it look like it's the Moral West show.
No, I'm
In Luke
not.
world.
Yeah, you
In
are.
my personal world, it is, but not in the reality. Reagan, who do you have at number four?
Number four that I'm thankful for, it's another recent event, but kind of hoping that it turns into a little bit of a trend, and that's James Franco taking a role on General Hospital.
Oh, thank Jesus. Oh,
He
man.
just made my throat so sore screaming. I was like, Oh my God.
It was a great intro, and it's great that somebody of his caliber, an extraordinary film actor, wanted to try something out and came into the daytime world and is taking his shot at it. And I think it would be nice to see, some other either primetime actors or other film actors, kind of looking back at daytime and saying, "Hey, let me take a shot." And he's had a couple of interviews saying it's not so easy. I got handed a movie or a script the size of a movie script and told me that that's what I was doing that day. So.
You know what's so funny about him being there? Everybody's like, ugh, why is he on soaps? Why is he on soaps? Soaps have this stigma on them, but when you talk to primetime actors that were there and had to quit because they're like, because they quit and you're like, why'd you quit? They're like, I cannot handle this. I don't know what these people, how these people do it. I don't know where they get this energy from. I don't know how they are able to go with this, They get so shitted on, but when you speak to primetime actors or movie stars and so forth, they are real honest and say this thing is no joke and soaps should get their due. And I'm glad that Franco is showing that, and it's being real, saying, look, this ain't no joke. That's why I signed up for this, to really experience this for myself.
Soap actors are just all on Red Bull. That's how they do it.
Absolutely.
Mel, who do you have at number four?
At number four, I have all the new web soaps coming up because I feel like it's a way we're kind of trying to reinvent the genre again because I do think it's all going online. And it's nice to see that we have people like Crystal Chappell and Martha Byrne trying to make it do what it do and keep soaps alive, shows that they really love this genre. And for all that, I have to thank them so much. I will be trying to check out the web soaps unless they have to pay it for them. And I can't pay for it, Crystal Chappell. I'm sorry, I can't do it. But,
And it's so great because everything's going to like such an online world that with everybody so fearful that soaps on our TV is going to go bye-bye, it's nice to kind of get it established now and build that fan base.
Exactly. So I'm very thankful for that. So thank you, ladies. Anybody else? Oh, Andrew Miller. Sorry, I forgot Andrew Miller and Imaginary Bitches. Fantastic. So
Yes.
them
Oh,
bitches are
yes.
gonna hijack your ass. You know them bitches are gangster from Imaginary Bitches.
I want to
Hell
know what
yeah.
happens when the imaginary bitches visit the set of Venice. That would be something.
Ooh.
Jillian, who do you have at number four?
I have it number four. I am thankful that Charlie Jackson is back! That is my lucky look. I'm going to be honest here, and I'm just going to, y'all know I don't bullshit around. Look, I have nothing against Greg Vaughn. He's a sweet guy. He was a cool actor, but let's just be honest here. Whenever, you have a lot of people who say, a lot of writers that openly say that this person was their muse or that person was their muse, or you can read between the lines and see that this character was their muse. Nothing against GH, but when Jonathan Jackson left the role of Lucky, their inspiration left, and Lucky became a big ass turd. When Jacob Young took over the role, nothing against Jacob Young, they just weren't having it with him. And when Greg Vaughn took over, it was just like they just did not have any inspiration at all. And now the cowboy is back. Oh, GH is in the, it is a real ball game right now. This is a real dog fight to see which soaps are gonna be out on top. So my number four is my cowboy being back on screen. Y'all just need to bring his mama home and we're good to go.
Ooh, that would be good.
Yeah, I don't think Reagan wanna know what I said in the CBS performer, but I'm sorry, but we all know that GH ain't trying to have his Annie come back. I'm like, look, I'm a realist. Look, I love Jackie Zeman, but The role of Bobby Spencer should be played by Colleen Zhang Penta. I'm sorry, not Jack, or not a Bobby, but there's rumors that Laura may be very close to. Yes! Yes, yes! She need to come home!
Miss
you know, and they're always out there, but... What the hell is she doing? Like, okay, side note.
On the Hallmark Channel?
What is she? No. I mean, like, do they know that Laura, that Scott Baldwin was on that plane with Laura? Do they know that?
I don't know if they know that. I'm
like, what the hell? I'm like, nobody knew, like, what type of frigate airline and what type of service is Nicholas running? What type of operation is he running? Anybody can roll up on that damn plane. I'm like, Jesus.
I don't know. But you know when they got Jonathan Jackson to come back that in the back of their minds, at least, they were thinking about how can we kind of get Jeannie back for either another short stint or even a short-term run. And it looks like it may be – they keep saying maybe February to keep an eye out for, but we'll see.
Oh, my God. Like, when they had Lucky on the phone, he was like, hey, Mom. I was like, oh, man. I screamed again. I was like, oh, Bob Guzin, stop teasing me, damn it. Oh, it was so – it felt as though she was dead, but she wasn't. I was like, Bobby, don't do that. Don't do that, Bob Guza. Oh, but number four is my cowboy back.
Well, Jillian had a return at number four for her. I do as well. Louise Sorrell being back on Days of Our Lives. Vivian is back in Salem. I am in heaven. I am in absolute heaven. And it has been such a joy to watch her back. She's only been back a short time, but she is one of my all-time favorite Days of Our Lives characters. And having her
Louise?
No, Vivian.
Louise ain't no character.
Louisa Sorrell's character, Vivian, is one of my all-time favorites. And having her back, taking and seeing her in the scenes opposite of Crystal Chappelle, them making digs at each other, her taking...
Literally
digs. Her taking and talking to Mia and making Mia look like a deer at the headlights and like she could eat her alive. I can't wait till the Kate and Vivian scene and the Kate and Sammy scene. I'm in heaven, 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 heaven. Reagan, who do you have at number three?
Number three, it's just four little lovers. OLTL. Mm-hmm. One life.
Yeah.
I am just thankful for that show. I am thankful that I have that soap that I can't seem to miss an episode of, and that is just consistently good, and I love every last minute of it. And I have very little to complain about One Life to Live, so I don't even bother complaining about it.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you because it's on my list too. Mel, who do you have?
At number three, I have Chuck Pratt being fired from all my children.
Children. I should have watched that show.
Couldn't have been a better Thanksgiving gift, huh?
Can I finish? Okay. Now, I used to keep All My Children on SoapNet because it came on in between Young and the Restless and One Life to Live. So why not just keep it on, right? And I used to be able to kind of get through it, but now it is so much of a night terror. No, we've moved past nightmare. It is a night terror now. I can't even keep it on. It's abominable, the things I did to that show. My mom used to watch it when I was little, so I remember the characters and some of the stories. So, just the things that I saw he did to all my children, it's just shameful. Shameful, shameful, shameful. But he is gone now. He'd be on the category of show killer. So I'm all for the show killers being gone from daytime. Thank you, soap gods, for getting rid of him. Hopefully we'll get somebody better to replace him. Not Ellen Wheeler. You hear me, Pride Bronze?
She who shall not be named.
Yeah, but she don't write though, so we should be safe from Ellen Wheeler. I mean, All My Children was one of my favorite shows growing up, and then I can't watch it. And then like someone was like, you know, you should try to watch it and support all shows. No, I'm not doing that. That's what the brass wants you to do, and I'm not doing that. That's stupid. That's how they're trying to corner you into watching something that's disgusting and distasteful. No, I'm watching that shit. Now maybe. Maybe I'll watch it. Who knows? Depending on who they have running that ship. I'm kind of scared, though. Really,
I mean,
you
can tell, like, the actor's face is like, poor Darnell Williams and Debbie Morgan.
Oh.
Every time they end the scene, they just look like, I came back for this shit.
Poor them.
I really came back for this.
I wonder if David Canary had to take out an extra accident policy because of how many times they've had him falling on the freaking ground with Stewart's death. It's a shame.
David Canary told me to tell you that he is a rough rider. He can take it. He's like, I'm a thug. I can take this.
All right.
Please.
Don't take it.
Yeah. Oh, you don't talk about David Canary like that. Hush.
That man has looked the same way since I was a little girl watching All My
He time. Looks good for his age, though.
Oh, he does. He does.
He's in his 70s.
12 like Jeannie Cooper.
Okay.
No, Mel.
Okay, look at him, Mel. Don't do that. Don't talk about my Cooper and don't talk about David Canary.
I like both of them.
Shut up.
Fantastic.
You don't talk crazy.
I like both of them.
I'll have her have Eric Braden punch you in the face. Y'all need to see. We need to give that to Clip the Reagan for Reagan to see. Oh Lord, you need to see Eric Braden.
Oh, you've.
You need to see EB act like a damn fool. I'm like,
oh God.
Okay. Yes. Jillian, who do you have at number three?
I'm thankful for One Life to Live, the writing regime at One Life to Live. I'm going to be serious and honest for a second here. I used to grow up. One Life to Live was one of the shows that I grew up watching. I was really more of an ABC fan than a CBS fan. And over the past few years, I just couldn't get into it under the Higley regime. Boy, you don't know. I had my voodoo dolls and my incense. I was just chiming, shama-lama-lama, just to let that they wanted her gone. And then, yeah, I think McTavish. Wasn't McTavish there? Yes. I think wasn't she there, Reagan?
Oh, gosh.
See? There you go. I think McTavish was there. She probably was. You know, she always there. If Jill Farron Phelps is there, McTavish will have McTavish and will travel. And then I had stopped watching it altogether because the show just didn't look like any show of mine, you know? And then all of a sudden I heard about Ron Colavani. I'm like, who the hell is this Ron Colavani? You know, I'm like, who is this one? And I'm gonna be honest, when he took over, I chimed in again and it was kind of interesting. But then Ron lost me with that Mandora and
1968.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, I really was not feeling that. I would tune in here and there because they had my girl, Tina Lord Roberts, back. And then, yeah, Ron let me down because he missed the beats with that because Tina and Todd, out of, you know, the Lord clan siblings, well, it's only three of them, but, well, that we know of, you know what I mean? Tina and Todd were really tight. That, like, back under the old regimes, they always would play off of that Tina and Todd were tight. They were pretty much thick as thieves, if you will. And Todd's Achilles heel was back at that time before he had Star and the rest of them Stray Kids was Tina's kids. He loved Tina's kids so much as that he set up a trust fund for them. And whenever Tina would get on his nerves, he'd be like, Tina, I'm going to take them out the will. I'm not going to have them in the trust fund. And that's how he would reel her in. They would always play that beat. And they never played it when Tina came back. It was just, it wasn't even there. Like, they never touched upon that. I didn't really like that. And then
she spent more time with David Vickers than she did.
Yeah,
Tom.
It was not. They ruined that. They missed that. And then they had Carlo Hessa. Carlo Hessa was a G. I loved Carlo Hessa. And they had Carlo Hessa like a little bitch when he was there again. I just could not watch it anymore. I was like, I don't know what y'all talking about with this Ron Carlovati. And then you had the rape mans. And child, that's when I just checked out. But then I heard you guys talking about it again, and I decided to tune back in. And I was a little hesitant, and I started to watch it again. And I was like, okay. And I started to realize that the show is really starting to make me love soaps again. I haven't loved soaps in a long ass time, y'all. And they've got me to the point where when it's Fridays, I hate it when it's Fridays. They have perfected the art of cliffhanger Fridays. I mean, did you see when Taya was getting the shit choked out of her by Ron?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, damn it. And it makes me miss, you know, those ABC promos that they have at the end on the next One Life to Live. They don't even do that no more. That makes me mad as ABC as hell. I'm like, Brian Franz, what the hell are you doing? Why are you cutting
I corn? Miss the promos too.
I miss them so much. Like, Ron has perfected the art of cliffhanger Fridays again for me. I love soaps now. Soaps have made me love it. I tweet it all the time. Watch One Life to Live. So number three is One Life to Live. In case you don't know, watch One Life to Live.
Well, coming in at number three for me is Resurgence Soaps. General Hospital is making a comeback. The last 6 to 8 months of General Hospital, has seen marked improvement. There's more balance on the show. There's the mob has been incorporated in such a way that it's not so overbearing. We see wonderful things like Scrubs and the Spinel or the Spixie wedding or non-wedding, I should say. We're having events like the carnival, and then we have James Franco. The last 6 to 9 months on General Hospital, over the previous years where it had just become such a grind sometimes, General Hospital's on its way back. Days of Our Lives, last year, we were all going, what the hell is going on with Days of Our Lives?
Ugh.
And a year later, Gary Tomlin, Ken Corday have turned this thing around. Its ratings are up over the previous year. They have made significant improvements in various storylines so that they're more interesting and entertaining. They've brought back Crystal Chappelle as Carly Manning. My favorite, who I mentioned earlier, Louise Sorrell, is back as Vivian. They're building things up, and they're doing what it takes, and they're fighting like hell. And so Days is on a resurgent. Now, to a lesser extent, I'm also including As the World Turns in this because November is anniversary month for Daytime Confidential. It marks the 3-year anniversary of the podcast. 3 years ago, As the World Turns was one of the best soaps in television. It was amazing back then. And then it went downhill. As the World Turns, I'm including them to a lesser extent because it's not as bad as it was a year ago. A year ago this time, As the World Turns was in terrible shape. They've had a rough time. They had a rough time of it in the first part of 2009. But the last half, we've discussed this on the CBS podcast before. It's been a little bit of deja vu with what happened to Guiding Light. But they've been fighting. They're fighting like hell to stay on. The storylines are tightening up. The Brad storyline is good. The Carly Jack storyline is good. And I forgot to mention Katie. Brad and Katie is good. The Snyder family, they've rehabilitated Meg. We no longer have the Vortex of Suck. The teen storyline has improved some.
Yeah, it's fixing to die.
It's improved some, but now they got to figure out how in the world they're going to replace Meredith Hagner. But As the World Turns is not as resurgent as Days or General Hospital, but it has made improvements over 2008 significantly. So both of those are back. So Resurgent Soaps at number three. Reagan, who do you have at number two?
Kind of piggybacks off of your very long number three.
Oh, thanks.
Just kidding. I'm just loving GH again. I was really down on it at the beginning of the year, and I feel like it's turned around a lot. It still has some road to travel, but it's turned around a lot for me. I'm liking Michael. I know you don't like him, but I'm liking Michael.
Oh, I like Drew Garrett. I like Michael the character. I just want someone to wipe that smug look off his face and cuff him one.
I think the casting that they've done lately has been just out of the park.
Oh, yeah.
Great
Lion
job.
Needs casting. To take a page from them. They need to go kidnap Mark Teshta. Cause say what you may about GH, they know how to cast the shit out of some people.
Yeah, they do. They did a fantastic job. And I just, you know, I used to sit down and fire it up on the DVR and kind of cringe that I had to sit through it. And now I fire it up and I'm just like, you know, I'm rewinding parts and, you know, I'm watching them again and I'm excited for it again. And, you know, I've been watching the show for so long and I used to schedule my college classes around it.
Me too! Oh, I'm such a geek.
Guilty. I do that now.
I mean, you know, so it's always been a huge part of my life. So when I was so down on it, it killed me. So now I'm glad to be back in the GH saddle. So that's my number two.
Oh, Reagan, you are not telling any lie. My sister can tell you. My older sister, if she was to ever come on here, she'll tell you I used to rearrange. GH was actually the favorite. I would rearrange when I was in college, rearrange it. Don't let my sister say, well, I got to go into town. Let's go into town. Or I got to go somewhere and GH is about to come on. She would get guns ablazing from me. I'm like, what? You ain't got to. I would freak out. I freak out, I tell you. And then, oh, I don't know what happened, but yeah, they've GH has pulled it back.
They like I said, they still have a few steps to go, but they're on the right track. That is for sure.
You let them say Vanessa Marcellus back. Oh my lord. Woo, GH would be blazing right about now. I'm not disputing the other guys there, but oh my god, I think Bob Guzzo would just be writing for everybody, boy. Right. Bobby would be out of that closet again. He'd be like, hey, there's a love interest for Bobby just because his muse is back.
Mel, who do you have at number two?
At number two, I have something that's already been mentioned before a lot, and it is One Life to Live.
Oh,
I am beyond thankful for this show. It makes me remember why I love soap operas why I sit there and I defend it to everyone because I'm a film major in college, but I love my soap operas. So it's so fantastic. You know, there's cliffhangers. Sometimes they don't even have cliffhangers on Friday. It'll be Thursday, Wednesday. I was like, oh, this is so old soap. They tell stories. Truly tell stories. Fantastic actors and actresses. Y'all were talking about Taya earlier. I'm not even going to lie. If Taya is on One Life to Live on, let's say, a Thursday, do not call me. Don't talk to me. I do not care because Taya is on my screen. That is how much I love this character. Like,
she could be on 5 days a week and you wouldn't care, unlike someone on Young and the Restless, right?
I mean, this is true. I'm not going to lie. It's true. I know people are going to get me for that. They'd be like, no, why do you want her on? Blah, blah. You know what? She is hot like fire and I can watch her in anything. It does not matter. But that show is great. Ron Colavardi and Frank Valentino are doing some fantastic things. So I just got to give it up to them. Y'all need to watch One Life to Live. Watch
Hell
it.
Yes.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
People keep asking me on Twitter, they're like, why do you keep saying that about One Life to Live? I'm like, I'm going to be honest. Those boys over there know what the genre is all about. Mm-hmm. They've tapped back into that. They don't go over, you know, they're not doing all this hocus pocus and all this other dumb shit that some soaps are doing. They're going back to basics. They're going back to the root of things. They're telling intricate storylines, and the cast is an ensemble cast. I know some of them don't think that that's an ensemble cast, but it really is. Compared to what GH used to be, the Sonny and Jason show, that's an ensemble cast. And you know, a few years ago it was the Gloria Hour, and Lord, oh my god,
that's another thing. You love about One Life to Live, I mean, all the stories are intertwined. They all have something to do with one another. And when was the last time that happened on the soap? When a focus wasn't on a single character or a single family. One Life to Live, everybody's connected.
Everybody's connected, and everybody has a, you know, they are telling a story about everyone. Everyone down to like Moen. What was the name of that chick?
Moen Noel.
Yeah, they have a storyline. You know what I mean? That's how soaps are supposed to be. You have an ensemble cast. You need to utilize it, and it doesn't hurt that, you know, Ron knows how to churn out some storylines. You know, before I would have been like, yeah, right, but no, he knows how to churn out some storylines, and people need, you know, some people in the soap game need to take heed on what he's doing. So,
One Life to Live can make you laugh and cry in the same episode.
I know. I'm telling you, I'm like, I'm waiting for what happens on Monday. Like, I'm so mad that, you know, some areas, like, I think, yeah, Canada doesn't have, like, a day ahead of One Life to Live episodes, because I would be looking for that sucker on YouTube to watch it right now. I'm like, oh, God, I'm trying to go rescue your woman. Go get her. So yeah,
and the fact that he's flying all the way to Seattle for Taya,
you make Blair like, think about what Blair did.
He making it seem like Seattle is Timbuktu. It's Seattle, Luke. Jesus Christ.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, this is Todd, who is one of the most self-absorbed people on the planet, and he's actually coming to the terms with the fact that he may still love her.
No, made my ass. You love him some Taya so much that Blair can see it. Blair was throwing her butt as usual.
I hope she gets in trouble. I hope Todd brings the thunder on her. This bitch knows that he has a child and won't say anything. You cow. I'm like, I hope Todd just goes blazing on her.
I just thought it was for Blair to give up Todd for Taya. Come on now. Come on.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe are they going to bring someone new on for her? Someone got to know.
Jillian, who do you have at number two?
My number two is a tie. That is GH and Chucky P getting the pink slippy. Look at him. I tried to watch All My Children, and I just couldn't do it. It was not the show that I was used to. I was so not used to, like, it being so misogynistic and it being all, this is not a slam against Vincent Irizarry, because I've seen that man on some shows. Hell, I love David and Erica. Oh, Lou Jack and Nick McKay.
David and Erica. Oh.
Oh, Lou Jack.
Excuse you? What you just said?
David and Erica.
What? You didn't like it?
No, I did. I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, that's like about to tear that up, boy. But yeah, like, I love David and Erica. Adam was the man, and now it's just I don't know what it was. Like, they had me when Jesse and Angie came back. I was like, how the hell are they going to tell this story? Because my grandmother says, I saw him die on screen. She'll say that till the cows come home. I saw him die.
I saw him as a ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I saw him as a ghost too. And I'm like, what the hell is this? But hey, I'm mad at them. I ain't mad at them. I'm like, I'll let it go. And then there was Chuck Pratt. And then there was Turbo as non-Liza, Liza.
And then there was blaming Eden Regal for him not being able to read the schedule.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry. I just thought that was a cop-out, and Chuck Pratt should have had his ass torn into for blaming someone because the storyline sucked. A real writer would take responsibility and say, you know, my bad, people weren't feeling it. But, you know, you have some people that just have a huge ego. For him to blame Eden Regal, that was low. That was low, and I'm glad Brian Franz is sending it's like Brian Franz is like he's drawing a line in the sand, and he's telling people, look, if I could fire my homeboy, hey, ain't nobody safe, so you need to get it together. And I think people should take heed on this, that he can fire his homie Chucky P. No one is really safe. So, Jill Farron Phelps, you get fresh. You get out alive.
If you really think about it, I'm not going to even put that into the universe. Never mind.
And then you have GH. It pained me to stop watching GH for like a minute. I had stopped watching GH for a minute. That was my show. It just became unbearable and unwatchable anymore. I mean, Look, it, the mob thing really didn't bother me, but then when it just became mob time all the time and they had everybody all about the
Gangsta
mob.
Hospital.
Oh, you heard what Sarah Brown said, but I don't know. I love Sarah, but I think she might have just jumped in. You know, she just jumped from the pot into the fire being over at B&B, but who knows? I'm gonna give Brad Bell some slack, but it just became unwatchable. And for my sister, she was like, damn, GH really must have got on your nerves for you to stop watching it, because that was our show. She had stopped watching it years ago, and I just was like, enough. It just became so unbearable and just painful to watch. But then Bob Guza must have been like, look, I'm not trying to go out like Chucky P. Maybe Bob Guza smelt what was coming in the air and was like, okay, we got to get it together. He and the gang over at Channel Hospital have just been making that show amazing. That show is starting to become, that's another show that's starting to become Cliffhanger Fridays for me.
Oh yeah. Oh
I'm
yeah.
like, and again, I'm mad that they don't have the previews as to what's to come. God damn it, you need to bring those. I don't like that anymore. I don't like it anymore. Everybody else still does it. Why you gotta be different, Brian Frost? I don't like it. I
He
do
did that.
not
Didn't he
like
do
it.
that to cut prices?
I was gonna
Because
say,
it
I
was
think
expensive to do
they're
it.
well, not only that, but it's probably giving them that much more commercial time.
Yeah. Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. He said he did it to cut prices, but it's stupid. It's stupid. At least have a little trailer of what's to come for the week or something when the shows
That's what
are
I
over on
think, at least on
Friday.
Friday.
Although I would like them to have episodes of One Life to Live
Oh,
online.
that
Why
would
do
be
you have that?
fantastic.
Why do you have that option even there? That makes me mad as hell. I'm like, what are you doing? They don't even have it for All My Children. Although I don't think that's a bad idea.
Did you have anything else at number two?
That's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, coming in at number two for me is One Life to Live. It's the best show on soaps. It is outstanding. This is not to say that it doesn't have its hiccups. It does.
Yeah.
And sometimes it catches a cold and has some very bad ailments for a few weeks. But it is, that does not detract from the fact that it is the best soap of 2009, in my humble opinion. Unlike many shows that will have a PSA storyline where they're clobbering you over the head
Ugh.
with something, instead of it being a public service announcement, they were able to incorporate the gay marriage storyline into another storyline about Dorian and Vicky. And they, yes, it was a major storyline, but it wasn't a public service announcement. You have Mel, I believe it was Mel mentioned it earlier. It's an ensemble cast. You don't see a cast like One Life to Live on any other soaps where you have all of these characters in all these different age groups who are interacting with each other in the same scenes, in the same restaurants. You see more people in the restaurant on One Life to Live than you do in most any episode at one time on As the World Turns. As the World Turns, you're lucky if you get three, four people in, or three people in the same scene. One Life to Live, you'll have Charlie and Vicky at a
Oh,
booth. You
sorry.
have Christian and Layla talking back in the kitchen. You'll have Roxy and I was going to say Brett, but it's not Brett. Kyle
Kyle.
at the counter. They integrate
John
these
McClane will be outside,
Yeah,
like.
exactly. They integrate all these things, even when even John McBain, who is quite possibly the most boring person on soap opera,
That's all right. He fine, though. Hell yes.
they at least, even though he is boring, at least he's a competent cop, which can't be said for half of the other shows.
Oh,
I mean,
I
you.
really, I hope that doesn't, that aspect of the show doesn't change when they move into bigger studios. A lot of the reasons we get that is because their space is so limited. When they roll out a set, they use it to their advantage while they have it out.
That plane set.
Oh,
But
yeah. I was
like, you know what?
and that's sometimes where they get a little, where one of their hiccups come into play, but they use it to their advantage. When they roll out this up for the diner, they make sure they cover all their bases,
I think,
and it makes it feel more real to the viewer.
And
I
not only
think
that,
Frank
but
and the boys, I think Frank and the gang will be able, when they get in a bigger studio trust, I think Frank and the gang will be able to utilize it, if not even better. I mean, look at the little shit that they have to use now. I think,
yeah.
yeah, they'll be able to. I'm a cut for you, Frank. I think they'll be able to utilize it. I think
Well,
so.
and even the scenes like the airplane that you mentioned, yes, everybody was flying, but it provided some quiet moments, which you don't really see in soaps as often anymore, where you just have two people sitting there talking in a
What are you talking about? Like, yes, you do.
The cast is outstanding. We will not go into some of the people's haircuts, but
cockatoo on that girl head.
The thing
girl
is,
like she has a cockatoo on her head.
That girl looks like a chicken.
The other thing about
a cockatoo. I'm waiting for Farrah Fowl to take flight. Shit.
The other thing about One Life to Live is that Jamie has always said that Bold and the Beautiful, Brad Bell, has been always quick on his feet to turn things around when he sees a problem. I would say that One Life to Live is as good at it as Brad Bell. When they had a problem with Stacy, they turned it around by bringing in Kim. When fans are in an uproar over something, they turn it around. Yes, they film 3 or 4 weeks ahead, but if something happens and fans are in uproar and they see it as an issue, within 6 weeks it's usually corrected, and it just makes it for a very pleasurable and enjoyable show. Kudos to all of the cast, the crew, and the team, the writing team, and the production team. Kudos, kudos, kudos. Number one, Reagan.
Oh, well, I'm getting a little sentimental on my number one, and I wish there were more of us on this podcast because I want to thank all of you guys, and I'm thankful for all of you. I had a little bit of a rough patch this year, and you were all very understanding and very supportive, and it was nice to know that I had a whole nother family with you guys that were there and had my back and were concerned about me and just I just wanted to say I'm thankful for all of you, and I really, really appreciated it. And not just to you guys, the staff at DC, and Luke and Jamie and Jillian Mel, but everybody else, Mike and Belinda, and I know I'm going to forget some names, and Jay Bernard, everybody else involved. It was nice to know that when I needed you, you were all there. But to some of our readers that were great and checking in on me, and our listeners, I just wanted to thank all of you. It was, it meant a lot to me.
Oh, well,
oh damn it, Reagan, why you gotta make me cry?
You're gonna make us tear up, and we cannot wait till you're back full time. It's been so much fun having you on the podcast, and we can't wait till you're back full time on the blog, too.
Thanks. Do that, Reagan, you know I'm a curmudgeon chit, girl. Making me all moist.
I need to find some Phoenix.
I know, damn it. What's wrong with you?
Break me down over here. Yeah.
Mel, follow that one up. Mel, follow that one up.
Well, okay, I'm going to get sappy too. My number one I'm thankful for is Daytime Confidential. I'm sorry. I love this site. I love what I do. I love talking to y'all because I tell you there is nothing better than having the worst week ever in life but being able to come and talk to my friends about my soap operas, about everything that happened in the week. And we'd laugh and we joke and debate. There, I swear, doing this site and the podcast and everything, I have not laughed this hard in years. My stomach hurts when I get off of this thing. You know, I love it. Love it, love it. Reagan, Jillian, Jamie, Luke, Mike, Jay Bernard. Oh, I love all y'all. And then the fans, well, our readers, I have to give it up to y'all because if it wasn't for y'all, we wouldn't be here. Keep reading. Thank you so much. I love talking to y'all on Twitter. Hit us up. It's so much fun. And then, you know, just the blogosphere, everybody out there. We know we might not all get along all the time, but you know what? We all have one thing in common, our love for soaps and our need to keep this genre alive because we see something that not a lot of people see. So
each website is doing their best in their own way, and
we're all trying, but yep. My favorite is, of course, my DC and my peeps. And Luke, thank you for giving a 19-year-old kid a shot.
Oh, are you talking your age on this podcast?
Well, she's not 19-year-old. She's not a 19-year-old anymore.
I can figure it out, Luke. Our readers are not dumb.
Not anymore, but when I started, I was a little youngin'. I still am a youngin', but just thank you, everybody. I love y'all.
Thoughts are killing me here.
I've been working for 5 years, but thank you, DC, readers, blogosphere, everything. Love y'all.
Jillian, please don't make me reach for another tissue.
Oh, you bitches are making me tear up. Wrong with y'all, man. Number one is, yeah, it's the DC crew.
Yay!
It's a trifecta. It's the DC crew. No matter what, you know, you guys, you know, you don't have people out there except for our readers that are still passionate about this genre. And we always, you know, it's refreshing to see that you're not a crazy person talking about a soap. And talking about a character as if they were real. If I was to do this now, people would say, okay, lock that hoe up in Bellevue. And I'm not about to be Patty Williams looking crazy up in Bellevue. No. Oh, my God. But seriously, like, it's just refreshing to know that you still have people out there that are still passionate about the genre and still get what you mean about everything. And I just enjoy doing this, even though some of y'all make me crazy doing this. Y'all say some crazy things. I'm not going to name any names, but they are our fearless leader, and their name rhymes with Mook.
Mook Mer.
They say something crazy like Gloria Fisher Baldwin is the best. I'm just like, what the hell? Do I need to go take my earrings off and crash
your Vaseline?
You know, crash my TV to the ground? What you talking about? But I just like the fact that we have this camaraderie. We're like a family here. It's like a little family unit with the DC gang. So I'm thankful for my peoples, for Mel. Mel is my rider chick. Mel is my
rider. Rider die, boo. Rider die.
Oh, you know, Mel holds it down on Twitter with me. When we get into little debates, when we go crazy, when Smitty talk crazy, that's our homeboy Smitty. When Smitty talk crazy, Reagan, if you get a little invite from Smitty, just be fair warned, because Smitty talk crazy about, he talked crazy the other day about Star Manning, and I was like, oh, Smitty.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Kristen Elderson.
Seen him. Smitty, yes. I think, is a fellow Buckeye. I've seen him on DC.
And what you, yeah, he's a Buckeye. What do you think about Smitty talking crazy about her?
I don't think I've seen him on Twitter, but I've seen him on DC.
Now, what you think about him talking crazy?
I don't think she knows what he said.
I don't know what he said.
He said, oh, let me refresh you. Yes, I'm putting you out there, Smitty, because it's crazy. It's crazy. You got me for clumped here. We were talking about One Life to Live, and he was like, you know, we're talking about the younger cast, and he says, you know, some of the babies on One Life to Live need to go. He said, Destiny. And I was like, oh. He said, Destiny. And he said, Kristen Alderson. He was like, she is not a good actress. He called her the Crystal Khalil of Landville. That is not a good look. Look, I don't have nothing against Crystal. She's starting to bring it, but that's not a good look. For him to say that, I was like, oh. I sent my Twitter mafia after Smitty. I was like, get him. I'm like, are you crazy? There you go. Fellow Buckeye, I think you're on that Kool-Aid, Smitty. So, yeah. But in all seriousness, I just love the fact that, you know, the DC crew, Mel, you got Reagan. Oh, Reagan is my GHR, even though she's a liaison fan. I think Liz is a little skank. She's a sketch now. All right. She's a sketch, yes.
Well, right now she is, yeah.
She was one back there, too, messing with my Lucky. Oh, I'm sorry, yes. I'm going to admit it. I was a closeted J-Sam fan. I was scared to say it on DC because I did not want to get a hoe checked, and I did not want to have to hoe
check. You didn't have want to have the Marcy Ryland treatment.
Okay, look at here. I said it once that Marcy Ryland didn't bring it. I never said she wasn't a bad actress. So
never deserves without anybody's dishonorable
business. Exactly.
No, if I could put my Nicki Newman on a list, I could sure as hell put Marcy's ass on a list, so don't eat it. Yes, I'm a closeted Shazam fan, although they did my girl wrong when she was just being a hoe bag with everybody. She started to bring it back. So, yes, I like Sam.
You're out of the closet now.
Yes, I'm so Subi. I'm glad Jamie's not here. No, I don't think. No. I'm glad that Jamie is not here because I'm. Oh my God, I think Jamie would
say Jamie is not here to yell at her about that one.
That's the one thing when he talks crazy, I have to hold it in because I'm like, give me. I'm like, he's going to put a hit on me. He's going to tell Sonny to watch me. Then you have Mike. Mike is my boy. Mike was my husband, but Mike, you know, we still
get
cool.
divorced.
Yeah. So I started cheating on Mike, you know how it is. And you have Luke. Luke is our fearless leader. Luke has me cracking up. You know, even though me and Luke don't see eye to eye on some of the things that he says, Luke will bring it back and say something. He'll bring it back and hold it down on some certain things, like them days, babies, Luke. Yeah. Woo! Me and Luke had to cyber high five over that. Y'all stop drinking the Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah.
Jay Bernard, he's so funny on Twitter. He says the funniest things, like, mm-hmm. Lulu disdain. Yes, Lulu, you need to get slapped.
And then he spells it L-E-W.
I spell it like that. And then Sakara came to town and was like, ooh, little Lulu. I'm like, I like that. I love it a lot.
Yes.
And then you have my boy, Jamie. Oh, that is like the Clyde to my body. We just have a good old time talking shit about soaps. Although when he talks crazy about my Nikki Newman, I forget that he's part of the DC family and want to drive to wherever he's at and throw him to the ground. My Nikki Newman is the shit, boy.
But, go yeah. go Nene on his ass?
Excuse me?
Lord.
I don't think so. No. Excuse
Lord
me.
Mercy.
I talk crazy, but I'm a classy dame, okay? Let's get it together now. Don't even go there. See, people at DC, this is what I'm talking about. Who will go off the reservation and say some crazy ass shit? Nene, don't make me. See, you can cause me to drive to where you at right now and throw you to the ground, Nene. But it's the DC, you know, and then I also have, you know, the DC readers, even though we have a spirited disagreement, some of us, you know, majority of us, we still respect each other and don't, you know, try to talk crazy or try to get really crunk about soaps. I mean, at the end of the day, it is a soap. The DC readers, they just make it all worthwhile. Mm-hmm. You know, you have my homeboy Smitty. He's a Nikki and Victor fan for life, although he says some crazy shit about Kristen Alderson, and I'm just like, we gotta revoke your damn membership, Smitty. What you talking? You have Smitty. You have Dax.
Appleridge season.
Oh, Appleridge. Shout out to Appleridge.
Season is my home girl. That is the New York home girl. That is my road dog, Season. Oh my God. Whatever life is a little down, you'll have Seasons come out of nowhere and swoop in and say something crazy on DC. And I just have to stop laughing. I'll be at work and I'll be like, well, I'll be at the DC offices and Seasons will say something crazy and I'll be cackling like a fool because Seasons mm-hmm. just brings it. You have Xander Dash. You have Spins Vixenella. Oh my God. I like Spins Vixenella. How you doing? Spins Vixenella is crazy. The DC readers just make it all worthwhile. If I don't know your names like that, it's nothing personal. It's just that these people follow me on Twitter and we just have a little party. So there you have it.
I have to give a shout out to my home Texas girl on Twitter, Tori. Short shout out. We talk every day.
Tori
every day I talk to her. So shout out.
Yeah, Tori is a little crazy. And then you have L Boogie. And then you have, I always keep forgetting to give her a shout out. Her name is LMS1980. How you doing? She'll always chime in and be like, hi, how you doing? Are you having a nice day? Yeah, so the DC readers.
Shout out to Beth, too. Sorry.
Shout out to who?
Beth, me and her, we talk a lot on Twitter.
I don't know, Beth.
Shout out to her. She an old God and Light fan, so we have our God and Light moments from time to time. So I got to give a shout out to her.
Well,
yeah.
Coming in at number one, I have a tie. I'm going
to Bishop Baldwin, I swear to God.
No, I'm going to postpone my sentimental moment only to say Chuck Pratt's fired. Woohoo!
God!
Chuck Pratt. How can we count the many ways we are glad and thankful you are gone?
Go to DC because we have it all outlined on the front page.
Relive the Prattastrophe. Oh, God. Thank heavens he is gone. I have a little bit of hope once again in Brian Frantz. Maybe, just maybe, depending on who he chooses as a new head writer, he's actually in it to win it.
I thought of something crazy now. Now, you know they're going out to Cali. What if he tells Bobby Guzzo, I want you to helm this NGH?
Bob Guza would implode on instant contact. Yes. There's no way he can handle two shows. Just not possible.
I don't think so. I think Bobby G can handle it because he also has some fantastic backups over at GH. So
he does have fantastic backups, but let's just focus on getting General Hospital back in shape and try and find someone.
Reagan, isn't General Hospital in shape? You need to sit down, newbie.
No, it's not in shape. It's got a ways to go.
It's definitely
improving.
Shape, and its six pack is cut. It still works.
Yeah. Hello. I keep telling Luke this could have been the McTavish year. Reagan, you knew the McTavish year. Come on now. Oh, there you go. Bringing people back. Frozen shit.
It's definitely got its six pack back. It's still working on cutting that eight pack, but
Well, so the first half of mine is Chuck Pratt being fired. I'm so thankful for that. The last, but certainly in no way, shape, or form, the least or the second half of that is DC. Everyone involved, the staff, Jillian, Reagan, Belinda, Jamie, Mike. Jay Bernard, people who blog regularly, people who don't blog as often. We have a great group of people, Brooke, Darren, Mark. If I'm forgetting anyone, I apologize. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, first of all, because it's always meant a lot to me and my family. So it's sort of interesting that all of Daytime Confidential's anniversaries coincide in November, and it always makes me retrospective. It has been an amazing experience. There have been bumps along the way, but overall, it has been an amazing experience on the podcast, on the blog, working with each one of you, interacting with the readers and listeners on Facebook, on Twitter, on the blog, in the comments, personal messages. We love it that you interact with us. We thank you so much for coming along for the ride and enjoying it. We have had a blast, but it would not be possible without the readers and without the amazing team of people who contribute to the site. So to each and every one of you, a very, very big thank you.
Greg, Belinda. I forgot Belinda. How can I forget Belinda? She says the funniest thing. Didn't she snatch her up? Oh, my God. The other day, someone cut me off in traffic. I'm in Manhattan traffic. And some hoe cut me off. And I just yelled out the window, "You snatch her up!" And she's just like, she's like, "What the hell?" I'm like, "Look it up!" And I'm like, "Thank you, Belinda. Thank you, Belinda." And yeah. Oh, Arden Less. She's a God in Life fan. She's a Robert Newman fan, Mel. I'm going to put you in contact with her. She is crazy. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, Luke. There you go.
Oh, no. There is so much to be thankful for. I wish that everybody could have been on the podcast. It doesn't always work out that way with scheduling. It would have been great to have the podcast regulars here and have some more people to discuss the top five. I would like to wish each and every one of our listeners a happy and safe Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much turkey. You might have to sleep afterwards. And travel.
Too much turkey and fall into a coma because that's what I'm going to do.
travel safely. And as we head into the holiday season, be sure to take an extra moment to appreciate those around you, whether they be family, friends who are family, whatever may be the case. Take a little bit of time to, in the words of ABC's other talk show, enjoy the view.
Enjoy the view. See, there you go again, people. See, you see? Luke, say something, and you're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then he will go off the reservation, and that's how you gotta bring him in.
I just get scared.
You know, I don't want Brian Frost to send us no letter. That's trademark.
Cease and desist.
Desist, okay?
It's a one-time occurrence. We would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. You can shoot us an email at podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. And you could join us in the forums. Hang out, start topics, respond to topics, daytimeconfidential.com/forum. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
J-Sam for life!
Bye. Happy Thanksgiving.
Y'all listen again now, you hear?
I'm going to rep y'all J-Sam band now. And if y'all don't hear from me no more, you know Jamie to put a hit out on me.